Today's episode is brought to you by Taft Law and its Franchise Advance Program, a one-of-a-kind program developed by your host, Josh Brown, to help entrepreneurs assess, convert, and grow your business the right way through sound franchise structures. To learn more, go to taftlaw.com and type Franchise Advance Program in the search bar.
If you think like, act like, or are trying to grow like a franchise, then the Franchise Euphoria podcast is for you. Hello and welcome, everybody. Josh Brown here, and I created this podcast for one main goal: to help people who are trying to grow their business through franchising or franchise-like structures to do it the right way. I've been practicing law now as a franchise lawyer for many, many years, and I've seen it done the right way and the wrong way. And this podcast is not filled with a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. Rather, I talk with real people, people who have been there, have done it, are doing it right now. And I also dive deep into specific topics related to franchising. So if this is of interest to you, you are at the right place. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Franchise Euphoria. Thrilled to have on Eric Martin today, who is the Senior Vice President of Franchise Development for Happy Nest Brands. The brand includes Lawn Doctor, Mosquito Hunters, Elite Window Cleaning, Sparkle Squad. I may be missing a couple, Eric, but you know, let's talk today about the Happiness Brands. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks a lot for having me on. You only missed one current brand that we have in the portfolio, which is a brand called EcoMade. So you hit on all of them with the exception of that, but great to spend some time with you today.
Well, you guys have what, over 850 or 900 nationwide?
Yeah, started to push close to 1,000 actually, and it kind of all started with Lawn Doctor, which I know I'm sure you're aware of. It's a brand that's been franchising now for 55 years. Incredible. Started in the late 60s, and 2018, we collectively as a group decided to embark upon the Happy Nest Brands strategy, which we'll talk about how that all kind of came together here as we get a bit deeper, I'm sure.
Well, so what's, I love that. What happened in 2018 that led to that? I mean, that's a long time operating and then all of a sudden making that decision. What kind of led to that decision?
Yeah, the conversation started several years prior to that. And I've been with the company now for nearly 7 years. So when I got on board and started meeting with our chairman and CEO, Scott Frith, who's overseen Lawn Doctor for quite a long time now, what we basically sat down and said is we have an opportunity here within the home services sector to leverage a lot of learnings and systems and infrastructure that we've built for Lawn Doctor to help emerging concepts in the home services space grow aggressively and responsibly. And the first acquisition we made underneath Happy Nest was Mosquito Hunters in 2018, and we've added brands to that ever since. But in a nutshell, we want to centralize where we can and decentralize where we can't. So the mothership of Happiness provides a ton of support and opportunities for franchisor. Things like shared media. We centralize media and leverage economies of scale across all of our home service brands to provide more bang for your buck as a franchisor. We've lifted an in-house sales center, which helps convert sales for our franchisor. So there are some really cool centralized systems that we feel give our franchise owners and our emerging brands opportunities to look and feel more like a Lawn Doctor, a brand that's been around a long time. And that really was kind of the genesis of this whole discussion, was we can create an ecosystem of brands all within the service sector, leverage a lot of these learnings and give owners and these concepts an opportunity to look a lot different than an emerging brand typically does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, your background, you've been with the company, you said 7 years. What did you do prior?
I've been in franchising for almost 14 years now, all said and done. And before I got into the world of franchising, I had been in sales and business development, different kind of fields, if you will. But franchising kind of pulled me in. I fell into it years ago, and I had spent a lot of years with a really solid senior home care concept and learned the ropes there. We launched a couple of other brands. And, you know, after that experience had ended, I had engaged with Scott and I had known him for years, and he brought me on to help him spearhead the happiness brand strategy. So a lot of years in franchising, a lot of years prior to that in sales, business development, consulting, and all of those experiences kind of have led me and helped me certainly in the world of franchising.
So I feel like in your role, you're obviously dealing probably daily with prospective franchisees, current franchisees, and sort of looking at what you've got in place now and where you're going. I think, you know, in particular for you, Eric, and your expertise, I mean, you know, there's so many different people out there who think about franchising in so many different ways. And obviously, a service sector franchise is different than a restaurant franchise or a retail type concept. But talk a little bit about what you've seen, you know, over the years with these various concepts that, you know, lend yourself to lean on, you know, certain folks to be franchisees, whereas others may not fit that bill. Because I think it's always really important at the outset for somebody who's considering a franchise. Oftentimes they don't know what it all entails.
That's a great question. And I could take that in a lot of different directions, but I'll start with when people start exploring franchising, generally the genesis, if you will, is they're not satisfied. There's a pain point in their life. They're not fulfilled with their current career path. They feel as though they've amassed some experiences, built up some capital, and are ready to embark upon their own journey, be their own boss, if you will. And there's a lot that goes into just that decision. But when people start looking at franchising, I would say generally they don't start with looking into service or home service concepts for the reasons that you kind of mentioned. Retail and food-based businesses tend to be the logical starting point. And a lot of candidates start down that path and realize, well, boy, there's a lot of expense to get this type of business off the ground, whether it's a lease space long term, a build out, a lot of inventory, higher numbers of employees and staff, just more complexity maybe than they had set out for as they embarked on this journey. They start to look at different investment ranges. They start to consider, what's my relationship to my customer? Do I want to be in more of a relationship-based business or more of a transactional type of business? And what kind of role do I want to play as a day-in and day-out operator of my business? And what is my availability, my bandwidth? And then from there, what types of services may be out there, assuming they find themselves looking into service-type businesses? So you notice the last thing I mentioned was the actual widget. And most people start looking at widgets and then start looking at the role and the relationship. They need to start in the other way. Start with kind of the attributes of the models and the investment ranges and the type of staff needed, et cetera. And then people start to find themselves looking into home services. And frankly, what they discover, Josh, is that it's a huge industry. It's valued at over $600 billion, and it's wildly fragmented. There's moms and pops. There's not a ton of sophistication within the home services space. We're seeing more of that now through platforms like Happiness Brands and others that have consolidated, leveraged economies of scale infrastructure to really provide an incoming franchise owner the opportunity to shine. Run a service business that's traditionally very blue collar. At least that's what people perceive it to be. We want to bring in white glove, white collar franchise partners that want to deliver a wow moment to customers, build empires, create an experience in the community, build a team that can deliver the services for them and create wealth, create value in a business, but do it at a lower investment point and have an opportunity in our case to do it without bricks and mortar because it's not really necessary. So I start with that just so a candidate maybe listening to this can say, well, that's kind of me. I'm kind of looking at maybe a little bit of a lower investment, something I can be involved in, build customers, build retention, create value in the community, but not do it at a cost that a lot of your heavier fixed expense, brick and mortar type businesses would require. So once the candidate finds themselves looking at this space, then it kind of comes down to, do I fit into this type of culture? And the other part of your question was the types of candidates. I'll tell you what I see consistently, people that come into home services are great with customers. They have great customer-focused mentality. They have a servant leadership mentality. They're looking for a long-term community-based business. And they're pretty comfortable putting themselves out there. You're doing a mixture of things as a franchise owner. One of those things is not advertising in our model. Franchise owners will focus on boots on the ground, grassroots day-to-day networking, relationship building. But a company like Happy Nest manages all of their media, manages their initial sales for them. So someone that comes into our type of model, you know, is going to understand that very quickly. What's not on my plate and what are my focuses? And we want that focus primarily to be on the community, customer relationships, and retention. And we feel like we give our types of franchise owners a distinct advantage, an unfair advantage, frankly, to focus on those things and let our company step in and help them with their media and their setup and their software, their initial sales, things like that that are vitally important but can be managed at the top of the house and centrally by a company like Happy Nest. So our owner appreciates that. They appreciate the fact that they have those distinct advantages and can really focus on that white glove, white collar delivery of their service, whereas a lot of owners and businesses can't because they're so busy doing so many other things. We want to give them that advantage.
Now, do you have a lot of franchisees that are operators in several of these brands under Happy Nest brands? In other words, you know, maybe they own a Lawn Doctor and maybe they own a Mosquito Hunters, maybe they own a EcoMades or Elite Window. Because one thing I know over the years of working with folks in the service sector, which you're so right, what you said earlier. I mean, everybody first thinks of, you know, the food chains, right, that you would think of. But people don't realize that there's a whole other franchise world out there as well. But one of the things in the with the home services and service brands is that there's such a crossover to them. So I could see somebody coming in and being, you know, a good fit and there being an opportunity to say, hey, you know, you can have a Lawn Doctor, you can operate a Lawn Doctor, but because you're going to be in people's yards or your folks, you know, that are working for you, you can be in their yards. It's a great opportunity to cross sell to, you know, a Mosquito Hunters or an EcoMades or a window cleaning, you know, all those kind of services that are needed. Because I know with these kinds of businesses, that's how a lot of business is generated, right? I mean, you work through somebody at your house and it's like, hey, do you know somebody who does this? And then they give that referral. Do you have a lot of folks who are operating multiple franchises under the Happy Nest brands?
Not yet, and that is intentional. This is still relatively early in our development process. We're talking about it with our franchise owners, even in the development process, very early, with the ability long-term to grow vertically within the Happy Nest company versus horizontally. And it sounds like you're pretty well in tune with home services. It's a crazy space. There's so much opportunity to grow and take market share within it. But we want to be very careful. We're very thoughtful in our strategy. We start owners off with 1 to 2 territories. That's our comfort zone. We want an owner to go deep in their new franchise territory before they get too wide. We do allow for horizontal expansion, adding territories over time, but we're seeing more and more of our owners with interest in stacking another brand on their primary brand for the reasons you just mentioned, leveraging the relationships, the same system, the same platform. Customers that buy home services, the data is very clear. There's a propensity to buy more, and we prefer to keep it under one roof, right? So as we evolve and as we see Happy Nest kind of grow in the 5, 10, 15 years and beyond, we absolutely expect to see owners owning multiple Happy Nest brands. And even if they don't, even if they have just one of our brands, there's going to be a neighboring brand or two in their same general area. And that's a value and benefit to them as well, because once we get a customer through Happy Nest, we can start to remarket to them and say, hey, you use this for XYZ. We'd like you to look at this at a discount as well. We have a neighboring franchisee who can perform this service for you, and that drives down the acquisition cost. So that's really the long-term vision of our platform, is to drive that acquisition cost down for an owner, leverage our relationships in the community, whether that's one owner with 2 or 3 brands or 2 or 3 owners with 2 or 3 brands. It provides value to our franchise owner. But I'll just say this in kind of closing of this statement, getting too wide in home services, being inefficient in a route can be detrimental. And that's the reason why we have this responsible growth plan for franchise owners, so they don't outstrip their ability to deliver those wow moments and that great service by getting too wide, too quickly. 3, 4, 5 years in, absolutely. That's the time to expand and grow once you've gotten the model down and feel comfortable and have created some density and have gotten good profitability. But we don't want to do that too quickly and take a really good franchise and all of a sudden now we have 2 or 3 average franchises run by that same owner. It's got to be the right time, but that's a big, big focus for us, you know, long term, is to see more of that happening within our system.
Well, it seems like it would make perfect sense. I mean, you know, given that it sounds like the focal point for Happiness Brands is to, you know, take a bunch of different systems and coalesce them, you know, to help all these brands equally. And it really kind of, it leads me to my next question, which is, you know, so often in franchising, and I'm sure you've seen this, I know I've seen this and I talk to folks about it, and that is, there's always, at the outset of a relationship in franchising, there's always the value proposition is clear at the outset, right? You know, somebody's going to come into a system that they don't know, and as the franchisor is going to teach them and show them and have some economies of scale and, you know, a POS system and some technology. And so the value is always there at the outset. But I always tell people the real key beyond that is, what's the value proposition 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road? Because what I find is that franchisees usually are going to say, okay, that's great. You got me started. You showed me the ropes. You showed me how to do all that. Now I know how to run the business. What have you done for me lately? What are you going to do now? How are you as a franchisor going to continue to earn that royalty, earn those fees? I mean, what would you say to that?
That's a really good question. I don't disagree at all. I think one of the things that a franchise owner benefits from longer term is just the fraternity of that system. People that become franchise owners, they're I say more entrepreneurial than they are truly entrepreneurial. You'll find founders of franchises that you got to be a little bit wild and crazy and experimental and have the capital to trial and error and figure things out. But a franchisee, a typical franchisee, doesn't want to do that. They want to come into a system that's been proven to work. They plug into it, they execute on their role, leverage the system as a whole, and they have success. But as you get 3, 4 years in, you got the model down. You're doing well. That's when you start really leaning on your fellow franchise owners, and you get a lot of value out of those relationships. From a corporate perspective, I don't want to insinuate we're on some ivory tower, but our perspective is different at 30,000 feet. We're looking 5, 10 years down the road. How can we evolve? How can we bring new services and maybe package things differently, bring more value to a franchise owner? While a franchisee is focused on tomorrow and the next day and taking care of their customers, we have that different vantage point. So we're constantly, whether it's through region meetings or conferences or group sessions with our franchise owners, talking about what it's going to look like in 3, 5, 7 years. And we want to continue to put them in a position of being successful. And as you know, technology, marketing, those things change, it seems like, every month. We've seen this now with artificial intelligence and some of the things coming out now with ChatGPT and how we communicate with owners and continue to evolve. A day-to-day operator, they can't be focused on 5, 10, 15 years down the road, whereas a franchisor can. So it's constantly putting our franchise owners in a position of success and allowing them to focus on where they're best at locally, but knowing that everything's going to evolve as months and years go by and making sure they're in that position. So I think most owners, when they come into a system, they need that support early. That those first couple of years are so important. And as a franchisor, and from our perspective, we don't really see the value in terms of royalty revenue more than likely until year 3, 4, and beyond. So there's a lot going to a franchise owner to get them up to speed early. And then we start to see that return as that relationship moves into the next phase, that value of fraternity, a franchisor that's constantly supporting me, putting me in positions to succeed long-term, helping me evolve and keeping an eye on the kind of downfield while I'm focusing on day to day. That's where I think we bring the most value as a franchisor, is continuously putting you in a position to be successful as the market shifts and changes.
Yeah. And it always seems like it is technology, you know, that leads the way in all of that. And that really, you know, as you noted earlier, gives, I think, a more sophisticated franchise brand an advantage over a mom and pop, because you know, in theory, you've got resources working towards what's the next technology to go to, and not stuck in something that becomes untenable or too old, you know, in terms of its actual use. It's fascinating to me because, you know, so much of with service brands that, at least from what I've seen, is you're dealing with franchisees that are operating ostensibly out of vans or vehicles, right? I mean, you've got vehicles that are going to be, they're going to have the branding in them. They're going to be set up a certain way. And so it becomes super important to be able to make sure that when customers call, people answer the phone, whether it's a call center or a live person, the communication lines are constant and open, that there's follow-up. I mean, when you're in sort of that service space, that becomes, I think, a differentiator for a lot of brands and can give a distinct advantage for a franchise brand over a mom and pop, because you would think that you probably have an advantage on that front.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll state two examples to crystallize that. On the media side, we centralize media. And a simple way what that means is we manage media for franchise owners. Our owners invest each year into an advertising program, and all of our media goes into their zip codes that they own, whether it's digital, Facebook, Instagram, or Nextdoor, or LSAs, or display ads, or retargeting. We're managing that alongside things like direct mail. We want to deliver value and generate leads, impressions. Owners are focused on their day-to-day boots on the ground game, but we're able to drive down costs by centralizing that. I just give one kind of high-level example using round numbers. If you spend $10,000 as a franchise owner on pay-per-click, which I would imagine most franchise systems are leveraging AdWords and paid search, you have to. You got to fulfill demand for people searching for you. In our model, we're able to drive that cost down exponentially. Spending $10,000 on media as a standalone business, an independent owner, you're going to spend probably upwards of $3,000 to $4,000 of that just toward media oversight fees with an agency. Since we centralize that, we drive that cost down immensely to about 7%. So of that $10,000, maybe $700 or so is going toward media fees because we're managing that. So they're getting much more value and much more return on that investment than they would as an independent. Secondly, when you think about a sales center, we've lifted one at Happiness that answers calls and form fills coming in for our franchise owners. It's all about speed to lead in home service, right? It's kind of the Amazon Uber effect, as I call it. People have been conditioned, you, me, anyone listening to this, to have immediacy. If I call or I submit something, I expect an answer pretty quickly, and I expect someone to be there. And that's not the world we're in, unfortunately, with a lot of the independence and the fragmentation in home services. It might be a day or two at best, and that just doesn't cut it in the world that we're in. So we want to be better than the competition, better than folks that don't have these resources, and give our owners a chance to really separate themselves in their marketplace. And that's what we've been able to do with the system that we've created here at Happy Nest.
With the market the way it is now, rising interest rates and so forth, are you guys seeing an influx of people because of the, you know, the reduced requirement for capital, you know, for your type of brands?
I wouldn't say a reduced amount. Our investments, and we won't go too deeply into that, are relatively light by and large as compared to a lot of other spaces. You don't have to have a place of business, if you will. You start small. You start off with maybe one vehicle, in some cases, maybe a couple of them in the earlier stages and a couple of employees, but it's not a capital intense play. Obviously, we have to be aware of it. You know, certainly, it's changed the landscape a bit, expanded the process a little bit, made it a bit more challenging, but it hasn't impacted our brands as much, just surely based on the kind of the lower investment levels to get into it. Generally, people use a lot of, I will tell you, Josh, most of our owners are going to leverage maybe a mixture of some SBA, but, you know, a ROBS program, a rollover for business startup, maybe a little additional cash as well, but our investments don't typically require major investments, so most of our candidates have the resources at their disposal with a little bit of work to be able to invest properly.
I'd be curious your thoughts on ROBS. What do you think about those? And for those who don't know, it's a rollover benefit service where basically it's an opportunity, and this is simplifying it, but it's an opportunity for somebody
to take retirement funds and get access to them and convert it over into essentially a new corporation and then use those funds to invest in a franchise without being penalized for that. And it's a legitimate way to do it. It's essentially a loophole in the tax system, but a legitimate loophole that's been used for years and years. I mean, what do you think about that in terms of folks using their retirement funds for that kind of investment?
Well, we've all, you, me, and everybody, we've all been conditioned to work hard, save your money, pad your retirement, and don't touch that, you know. And the world that we're in today with this loophole, as you refer to it, I think the ROBS is an incredible way to start a business. You're essentially moving money that you have no idea where it's being invested into. Most of us don't anyway, through a retirement account. And you're able to make that money work for yourself by moving it into your corporation. You have to form a C corporation and basically start your business that way. And you're moving shares from unknown into, you're putting your money where your mouth is and making it work for you. So it's a great way to do it. Frankly, you can't use an active 401k. It's got to be one that's no longer in use. So if you had maybe a previous job or two where you had saved up, you can tap into that and through a C corp, utilize that to invest in your startup. But I would say, boy, looking at it historically, the last 10 years, I would say it's probably close to 60%, if not a shade more, of our franchisees leverage the ROBS program to get started. And I think it's a fantastic way to take control of the money that you're saving and make it work harder for you because you're directly involved in the success of growing that asset and obviously the value and increasing the return on your investment.
Yeah, I think it's a good option. Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I mean, I think it's a good option. It's a, it's interesting. I, you know, my sense, and this is not a right or wrong answer to it, but my sense has always been that if you're taking it, you know, I always feel more comfortable for folks if they have enough in there to where they're not taking the entire thing and putting it into a business, whether it's a franchise or otherwise. Excuse me. Just because, you know, if you've built something up for years and years and years, and then you take it and irrespective of the franchise system, you know, there is some significant risk there. But there's a counterpoint to that as well. But I also think it is a good alternative to maybe other loans, the SBA, you know, other ways to do it. And certainly with your type of brands too, you know, there is less of an investment than you would typically have. Cause like you said, you don't have the build outs, you know, you don't have the long-term leases. Maybe you have a lease with the vehicle. But you know, that's a little bit different than a long-term lease, you know, retail lease typically. So it's interesting because you're right. I see it more and more and more. I've seen it over the years grow and grow and grow in terms of that being a vehicle that people use to invest in a franchise system.
Absolutely. And we see a mixture of different things. Folks may leverage their home as an example or a property and do a HELOC. Others will look into an SBA loan. There's different ways to create capital, liquid capital to get into a business. But we want to make certain, all of us, I would hope, in franchising, it's not just getting in. If you look at an item 7 and say, this is what it's going to take, well, that's your first few months. We want to make sure that you have enough working capital to sustain you as the business continues to scale, reinvest into growth and marketing, things like that. So it's very important that someone, and we take a lot of time working with our candidates to make sure that you've got enough to get in, enough to keep you going and be successful until you get to profitability. And you've got enough to live on during the ramping stages. And that's something a lot of franchisors that I've known over the years don't talk enough about living your life. Now, you have to scale back a little bit when you start a business typically, but making certain, whether it's through a job or a spouse's income, that you've got enough to keep the lights on while this business ramps up and ultimately starts to replace the income that you may have left. So we want to take that extra step just to talk through that and make sure candidates understand what it takes to be successful, not just getting in, but long-term success.
Well, you highlight a good point. I mean, the number one thing that sinks franchisees is lack of capital or lack of access to capital. We see it over and over and over again where they just don't have enough to get over that hump. And that's always heartbreaking to me when you see that and you can see where, boy, if you just had enough to get through the next 6 months, you know, or the next few months. You see it quite often. And I think that's a combination of businesses are just more expensive than people will think to run, but also just plotting for the different business cycles and the markets and being able to have some longevity in terms of the ability to utilize capital along the way for downturns and so forth. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. It literally is the difference between businesses that oftentimes will make it long term versus those that have to close the doors.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. Undercapitalization is one of the biggest challenges, and we do our best to eliminate that by having these really frank upfront discussions. And then part of this, as you well know, as you get deeper into a franchise process, you get the chance to talk to existing franchise owners and validate your learnings. And we want to make sure expectations are set, eyes are wide open long before we have someone attend Discovery Day and meeting our team and getting their approval. These are steps that any good candidate needs to take. And we're all interested, all of us in franchising and successful outcomes. And really, it boils down to, in our opinion, at Happiness, two things. Number one, relationships with our franchise owners need to be strong. There needs to be a good foundation of trust, alignment. And number two, a franchise owner needs to make money. If the unit level economics don't make sense in a franchise system, it doesn't work for anybody, for us or for our franchisee. And so important that we lay that groundwork out early, expectations set correctly. If we do that, someone is set up for success long term.
Well, I think that makes perfect sense. Thank you, Eric, for coming on and sharing, you know, a little bit about Happiness and its brands. First of all, that's a great name, by the way. Whoever came up with that's a great name. If people are interested in learning more about the various concepts under the brand, what's the best place to go?
Yeah, so the best place to go would be, we have various email addresses to inquire about all of our brands, but very simply, the email address is franchiseinformation@lawndoctor.com, @ecomades.com, @mosquitohunters.com, and @elitesparklesquad.com. So franchise information at brand name. And somebody on our team will be monitoring that, would receive that email, and then we'll reach out individually to that candidate and have a conversation and talk through some of the steps in our research and due diligence process.
Well, thanks so much. Keep up the good work, and look forward to hearing more about these brands as they continue to grow.
Josh, thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed it, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It really helps to get this show out to more and more people. Also, if you have any questions, have ideas for guests or topics, please email me, josh@indyfranchiselaw.com. That's josh@indyfranchiselaw.com. And finally, please note that this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes and is not in any way, shape, or form meant to be any kind of legal advice. If you're seeking legal advice, please contact a lawyer. Have a great one. Happy franchising.